You know, there's just often a few really simple tweaks that'll get you to where you want to go, and that's not going to really massively impact your day-to-day. In fact, it's probably going to make it better.
Welcome to the Grow Tribe. I'm Melissa McGowan, and I have been supporting teams and people grow for over 2 decades. So it might sound like I have it all figured out, but that is far from the truth. In my early 40s, I experienced my great energy crisis. It brought me to my knees. I was living and leading in survival zone, either doing or feeling healthy, but never at the same time. For myself, my family, and my career, I realized I needed to make some changes, and my biggest learning was to manage my energy. I felt more connected and alive, and I became the practicing chief energy officer of my life. And this is where the real growth started. I needed a tribe. I looked up and I realized I was not alone, and neither are you. Go to Grow is about connection with real and messy growth. The failing, the learning, the healing, the vulnerability, the bravery, and the aliveness, not just the glossy outcomes. We'll help you connect the dots between your energy and the impact you desire to have in your life. Our guests help create space for you to grow. They provide insights, inspiration, and information. We'll call them the practicing chief energy officers of their lives too. Go to Grow helps you navigate the rocky road towards greater growth for you. Are you feeling burned out? Well, you're not alone, and I can help you. I'd love you to join the Chief Energy Officer program. You'll reduce your burnout symptoms so you can survive and thrive in your career and your personal life. We will banish burnout in 8 weeks, starting in October. So if you need a roadmap that actually works for you, then check out the roadmap deal. This week only, it's 50% off the full price. So that expires the 24th of September. But actually, for the Grow Tribe, I'll give you a couple of extra days to the 26th of September or until the spots fill up. So check out the link below, and I would love you to join us and become the Chief Energy Officer of your life. Banish burnout and see you later, survival for good. Press record, because if I forget that, then that would be a real bummer. Okay, so we are recording. Cleaning, moving house, handyman tasks, handy person tasks, gardening, and technical support tasks. They were the top posted outsourced tasks on Airtasker in Australia in 2019. So I also wanted to validate this and check in with some real growers, aka the Grow Tribe. Welcome back, everyone, or welcome if you're here for the first time. And I asked them a question, and I'll tell you that question in a minute, but I'll just first give you some of their answers. Cleaning toothpaste off sinks, mirrors, door handles, and toilet seats. Wrapping Christmas gifts. Having your petrol pumped and paid for without leaving the car, stripping all the beds, washing and drying the linen and making them again, decluttering, often, personal admin, life admin, booking stuff, dentist, car, hair, especially forms, any forms, and in particular, anything government related, to not have to manage so many passwords, anything that does not bring joy, Costco to home deliver, dinner, prep, cooking, nightly, bring on the personal chef. Getting all the pre-work done for your tax. Someone to go through and line up in the security line at the airport, go through the checks and do the waiting around for the actual flight. And obviously, homeschooling. What's the theme? What you would pay not to do. Now, I recalled earlier this year, I don't know, time has warped, I've lost track. But there was like a 6-month time frame where my bike, which I enjoyed riding, was sitting in the driveway with a very flat tire and I think a tube that needed to be replaced. And Stuart, aka the Lilo guy, which I should explain, he's called Lilo guy because when we were in the Mediterranean a million years ago, back in like 2001, we were camping and traveling, and he had this plastic Lilo that he used to just sort of float out really deep in pretty much every day. And how good does that sound? Anyway, Lila guy said, I can fix your bike. No problem. Like, just, yep, I'll get it done. Don't waste your money. Don't send it to the repair place. It's fine. I've got it. 3 months later, still there. He said, yep, I'll get to it. Seriously, no, don't. Because I was like, no, I'm gonna take it to the guy. He's like, no, don't do it. Months later again, I just did it. I took my bike to the shop, got it fixed, and was loving it. Freedom again, back on my bike. Now, no one would ever call my husband, Stuart, the Lila guy, lazy. But I tell you what, like many of us and like you, he is choice rich and time poor. And it wasn't about the money. It was, on reflection, a mix of my lack of skills, clearly, and his lack of will. Yet, I was so pumped when I got my bike back. I'm going to talk about what you would pay not to do today with money coach Eliza Ludwig. Eliza is joining us from Sydney, Australia. And if you're wondering kind of what is a money coach, well, here's a couple of frames to think about. It's we're not talking tax. We're not going to talk balance sheets and profit and loss statements. We're not going to talk about rules or, you know, guidelines on your budget. No, what Eliza does is the much more interesting stuff. She helps people develop strategies to really achieve their goals, in particular, you know, often their lifestyle goals. Things like a house deposit. You know, how are you going to get there? What do you need to do to have confidence that you're going to get there? Well, maybe right now you're thinking, where am I reinvesting those dollars that I used to spend on holidays and travel? So the options are endless, but what tends to be more consistent is our desire for more ease and spaciousness in our lives. Not one day, not next week, but today. And our time and our energy are very precious, as you know. Time is finite. There's only a certain amount of it. Energy is infinite. And I will say every day of the week is your greatest asset. Now, I help people kind of own their capacity and really get clear on what they want to achieve and get some increases in their level of achievement, not at the cost of sacrificing themselves. I help them choose where they're going to spend that time and energy. So I'd ask you to think about that today. You know, where do you spend your precious time and energy? And what might you be doing on a semi-regular basis right now that not only you would prefer not to be doing, but in doing so would also open up some space for you and what is actually more important to you? So I'd love to welcome Eliza to the Grow Tribe today, and I'm really looking forward to us chatting about what you would pay not to do. Welcome, Eliza.
Hey, Melissa. It's so exciting to be here.
Excellent. We're very happy to have you here too. And we know that you are coming to us from your nice white kitchen in Sydney. How are you feeling today in one word? You know, because energy is essentially, it's a number of things, but it is also very much about how we're feeling. So how are you feeling today in a word?
It's two words, but sparked up. I'd say. Oh, nice. Yeah, I feel good. Despite the lockdown here, there's a lot of good things happening. My son's, you know, we've gotten into a routine with his homeschool, routine with my husband working upstairs. My daughter doesn't even need to be asked. She just logs on. So, and I do a work sprint because we are one device short. Well, actually, we're not. We have an iPad, but it's much easier for my son to do his work on my laptop. So I work between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m., which is when he gets up. And I got a lot done this morning, so I'm feeling good.
Yay. Well, I love it. I'm going to make it that you're sparkly. So you're, or okay. you're sparkling today.
Yep.
And I can relate to the sprinting as well, even though no one would ever say that I'm a sprinter. I'm certainly not built for speed. But we're a bit the same with the juggle device, the device juggle and trying to, you know, fit who needs what for when to get what done and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a very real juggle going on for, you know, many parents and workers out there right now. So I hope others tuning in are also feeling a little bit sparkly. And if you're not, that being here might help shift your energy a little bit and you might feel a little bit more sparkly at the end of our chat today. So, Eliza, I'd love just, yeah, to dive into our chat about what we pay or what we would pay not to do and think about that a little bit more deeply, kind of the what and the why and the how, and just let you kind of explore that for us so that we can tune in and think about what we might be able to do differently in this area. So, yeah over to you.
Yeah, thanks. So I suppose there were some interesting things that came out in the outsourcing tasks that you listed at the beginning. I was sort of interested in that, and I hadn't really thought about tech stuff as being one of them, but I certainly am all for that. I wish somebody could just come and sort it out. I so miss having an IT department. That's something that working from home doesn't really allow. But yeah, I think what it is around, you know, as you said, there's so much that goes on in our lives, whether you're in or out of lockdown or no matter what sort of circumstance you are, whatever you have in, you know, as they say, whatever space you have, you fill it. And so it's really about how do you fill that time and what do you want to be filling that time with? So people always say, you know, oh, get a cleaner or, don't worry about the instant food or whatever it might be. And as we were saying before we started recording, we don't. There's some sort of hesitation. I think a major hesitation is sort of the financial aspect. We think, oh, you know, why pay somebody to clean a house when I could do it myself? Or I'm not going to get my groceries home delivered because they charge a $15 fee in order to do so. But when you really look at it, our time is just so valuable. For instance, looking at, you know, the grocery fee, $15. If I was to go to the grocery store and get everything I need, I'm looking at probably two hours door to door and getting everything unloaded and unpacked, which I suppose you still have to do. Anyway, so 2 hours of my time is worth way more than $15. two hours of my time to be able to spend with my kids, to be able to read, to be able to switch off, exercise, all of that sort of stuff is really, really valuable, because I think we often fall into the trap of saying things like, oh, I don't have the time to take up that hobby, or that hobby takes up too much time, or I don't have time to exercise, you know, several times a week. I think we do. I think it's about, you know, making it a priority, which I know we sort of all know, but what are the things that we can do sort of in our life in order to make that happen, and what can we take off of our plate? And I think, you know, for me, for instance, I don't particularly like to cook. I like to bake, but I don't really enjoy cook. Actually, what it is with the cooking is my kids don't really like what I cook. So people have often said, you know, I just use a taco mix or whatever it might be. And I really don't even want to do that in terms of taking time off my plate, because for me, health is one of the most important things to me. It always has been, but last year my husband had a heart attack, which was a massive surprise. He had been, a friend of his had had a heart attack, you know, sort of 6 months before. So he went and he had all of the tests that they would ever run for a normal person with no risk factors. They didn't find anything. And then 6 months later, he had a heart attack. So it's even more important to me now. So that is just, you know, takeaway, packet food, frozen meals. It's just not something I would ever, ever want to outsource. Cleaning. That is a wonderful thing to outsource. So why don't more of us do it? I think one of the reasons is, well, I know from personal experience, it's having somebody in the house for 6 hours. Well, for our case, we had one person and it was 6 hours. And given I work from home, it just wasn't manageable from that point of view. And so I didn't keep up with that. But so, yeah, I think it's really about understanding the dynamics of your life. So other people who work outside of the home, that's completely fine. They're not in the home, and that's brilliant. You love coming home at the end of the day and it's done. But for my specific, you know, everybody's got specific circumstances that may or may not facilitate some of these outsourcing tasks. And so it's really just around trying to understand your dynamics and also your values. So as I mentioned, you know, health is really important to me. So things that would impact my health negatively are not going to be something that I'm going to, you know, invest in. But things that do sort of enable that.
I was just going to say, hearing you say that, it almost strikes me that that's a great place to start. I mean, as it so often is, isn't it? It's like, what is really most important to us? And to your personal example about your husband and health, that can shift and we can reprioritize. And, you know, I don't think these things are set for life, because that financial hesitation that you mentioned, even though the logical calculation stacks right up about the return on investment, you know, for spending that $15 to get the groceries delivered, we just often don't make, in the absence of some sort of, you know, criteria to filter and make the decision. You know, our brains, as we know, are biased to the negative, and we can just be kind of like, we can shut options down, or, you know, there's emotional stuff that comes up that actually, you know, influences our decision-making more. Like, you know, I should just be doing this myself, you know, self-worth, for example, or something else. So I like the values part, because that, and so interesting when you're talking about it, say, in a couple, right, or a family, getting that on the table to as one way to then be able to say, right, so what are our top priorities? You know, because for someone it might be convenience, or, you know, something around, you know, really saving time. But when I hear you say health, then doesn't it make it easy to filter those decisions, yeah?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's actually, I don't know why I didn't start with that, because it's what I start with in my business, for me personally, and when I work with other people, because, again, yeah, exactly as you said, financial stuff can sort of, it's just not something that's, you know, that's appealing necessarily, to sort of get into numbers and to, you know, get into the analysis. But thinking about what you stand for and what's important to you is something that's really fun and interesting and enlightening. So, yeah.
And do you find that when you are working with people and this kind of topic comes up around, you know, outsourcing, or, you know, maybe it's not something they're leading, but it comes up, you know, do people generally have clarity on what drives decisions for them, or is it a bit more kind of intuitive and this is how I've always done things?
Yeah, I think it's generally a case of they haven't really, they love having that lens, because I think we've got access to so much information at the moment that we sort of told, oh, this is the formula that you use, and this is the, you know, this is how you do social media, this is how you do life admin, this is how you do, you know, household management, whatever it might be, you know. This is how you manage your time. You know, there's so many time planners and time blocking and all of this sort of stuff. We're bombarded with sort of formulas, but I think by the time people have come to me, they realize that you've got one formula here and one formula there and one formula there, and there's no way that they all speak. And to your point, it's really very difficult for them to make a decision. They almost don't trust themselves anymore, because they think, oh, I've got to find the formula. I've got to find, you know, the expert, rather than sort of really tuning into their values and their intuition and the things that they want in life. And that might be financial, but, you know, more often financial is sort of only the beginning of the story. So, you know, whether it's somebody who is saving up for maternity leave or a house deposit, as you said at the beginning. You know, it's just the financial bit is not the main bit. It's more what that money can help them with in their life. Or, you know, time, obviously, having more time with your family or more time to, you know, join a running group or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and I just don't think people think about the reallocation of the time and what they could be putting it in, which, as we know, you know, so many of us feel like there's never enough time. But perhaps you could say a bit more about if someone's not got that, I think you said, like the trust in themselves to kind of navigate this and make some decisions and have the confidence to say, yeah, okay, this is kind of what I want to outsource or this is what I want to not be doing. How can we help them get some trust there?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is just check in with your values. So there's a number of online sort of quizzes you can do or even just sometimes lists. I will say if you're feeling slightly overwhelmed, there are some lists that are like 5 double pages. Don't go to that extent. Just, you know, one that sort of has, you know, probably around 20 really is probably a good number. And just go through those and sort of see what really resonates with you. So that's the first thing. Even that, sometimes people have a bit of a revelation in terms of they're doing something that they think that they have to do, that society tells them or their mother told them or whoever it might be.
I think so conditioning is big. In this space, particularly for women, yeah?
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely. And fear of judgment, which is probably going to be there anyway, so you may as well do it.
Yeah. Exactly. So once you've done that, then I always sort of suggest doing a bit of a time audit. So look at yourself. If you work outside the home, then just looking at the time that you've got available outside of that, and really having a look at all of the things that you're doing in that time. You might find, for instance, that you're spending 90% of your time outside of work on household jobs, or maybe you find maybe you're finding that, you know, making the lunchboxes every day is taking you, instead of, you know, 20 minutes, you're wanting to do the, you know, the sandwich cutouts, and you're wanting to do the bento boxes and whatever else. And actually it's taking you an hour and it's not bringing you any joy. And it actually doesn't align with any of your values anyway.
And what I'm just going to tip in there as well is you also may be blocking. You know, I'm picturing a garden hose that you're strangling. The kind of real and messy growth of, for example, in the lunchbox case, your kids.
Mm.
So this brings up the rescuing that so many women in particular do, where we know delegation comes up here, right, in the workplace or at home, yet we're so used to putting on our cape and just sort of saying, you know, I'll get it done. We don't necessarily feel good about it because... We're not getting to other stuff that brings us joy, but we can't see a way. We're so used to putting other people's needs ahead of our own that we and the conditioning around this that is so strong that we just keep rescuing because, you know, we've got to make the lunch versus the imperfect lunch that the kids might make. Mm-hmm. So I just bring that up because pretty much every leader I coach, you know, and whether, you know, it's a theme and it has been for a long time, is becoming more coach-like. And that doesn't just mean in a leadership sense, like that means at home as well, so that you're helping others be responsible for their own solutions and actions and potential. And one of the ways you're doing that is recognizing the dysfunctional roles we play around that, you know, in the drama triangle, which include sort of the, you know, the victim and the rescuer, but in particular the rescuer for females, which the rescuer creates victims, right? So this is something to really look out for, and it builds around that resentment over time of like, if you're saying you're always busy, you know, you don't have enough time, and you're sort of looking out to some non-existent milestone in the horizon that's suddenly going to free this up, like then tuning into this conversation, you know, is what I would really invite you to do. I think there's big opportunities in, yeah, yes, there's outsourcing, but there's also just doing less of some stuff and delegating, and yeah, it's an interesting conversation.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I had a conversation with my mother-in-law. I think my eldest was 2 at this stage, and she said, you know, you don't deserve Mother's Day. She goes, you get to be a mum and work. She said, I didn't have that opportunity. And that's really how she saw what I was doing, was I got to do everything. I say and feel I have to do everything. You know what I mean? I have to do everything.
Well, and God forbid you outsource some stuff. You have a cleaner, you maybe have a housekeeper or, you know, some of the other things we've spoken about here. So in addition to being so lucky that you can be a mum and work, you now outsourcing some stuff. So what do you actually do? You know, so the judgment is absolutely going to be there. I don't think my mother-in-law is listening, but she's horrified that I've never ironed anything in my life. That's because I don't iron. But I know that, you know, there is that judgment there about the ease with which some women and men, you know, outsource and as we hear often, it's like some of the most successful people in the world, it's because they of what they're not doing, isn't it? You know, like Tim Ferriss and the 4-Hour Work Week and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, there's judgment. So just accept there's going to be judgment. But think about the feeling, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. The feeling of not. I remember when my daughter said she wanted to earn some more pocket money, and she said, I'll take on making the school lunch boxes. I can't tell you how much joy that brings me. I don't have to ram my head against the wall with that task anymore. And to your point, you know.
You really insourced it. I love it.
Yeah. Yes. So I know that's not quite
what we do that too. Like we have an app. Yeah. Yeah, we have an app with the kids, and then we just have like different. It's like a free market of different prices set for. Sounds ridiculous, but for different jobs. And so, if someone unpacks the dishwasher, you know that's 50 cents or a dollar or whatever it is, and we just catch it on the app because we've done all the sort of give them pocket money and do all that. So now we've gone to this more kind of transaction approach, which means we don't have to sort of nag them as much, and if they don't want to earn the money, then they don't do the jobs. But again, there's stuff there that we're not doing and we're not feeling as resentful about it because we were constantly in that drama triangle ourselves, you know. Eliza, tell me about how you help people figure out, I guess, if they can afford this stuff, but what's coming out for me is some of these things can seem, like we said, with the judgment and the expectations, they can seem almost a bit frivolous. Like, you know, if I'm saving for something, you know, bigger and more important, like a house, then I probably should pull back on some of these more everyday things, even though we know that they impact your lifestyle on a daily basis. So how do you help people work through that? Like they've got the big rock, but then they've got sort of the short-term stuff. And I feel like we often put all of our eggs in one basket and we have fear around making some of the decisions.
Absolutely. So really very similar as what you've just said is we earmark that those big rocks, and then it's the little bits that you can play around with. So for instance, you might feel that you don't have the money to outsource your cleaning, but what you're finding is that you're picking up takeaway 4 times a week, which would easily cover that. And if health is important to you, well, then you've got the values click in as well, because you're doing something, you're spending money on something that doesn't align with your values and is taking away from something that you could really save time with and just bring you a whole bunch more joy. So we start by putting aside money for the big stuff and then looking at the smaller stuff and where that's going and seeing what we can redirect. Yeah.
I like that. So there's sort of like a values piece and then what sounds like a bit of a data, like there's got to be some sort of, there's that insight part that's a bit confronting of like, well, you know, it's like when we do stuff on where we spend our time, but also even more confronting where we spend our, where we're spending our money. And I know myself, I can be a little bit removed from that sort of, I'm happy, you know, happy to kind of earn it, happy for it to go into the bank account, happy to spend it, but don't really love getting into the detail about that because then I might not like what it's telling me. So I could probably do a bit of avoidance in that place, and I'm guessing others do as well.
Yeah. And actually, that's why I say to my clients, come to me, because I will soften the blow. I think, as you mentioned in the introduction, it's, but I am not about to say you've broken the rules and you've done the wrong thing. I am much more about, hey, look, maybe we could tweak a couple of things and then you could get to where you're really, really keen to go to. And it's not going to impact you to a massive extent where you can't, where you can't access the things that bring you joy, and you can't access the, you know, be able to recharge your energy. And, you know, there's just often a few really simple tweaks that'll get you to where you want to go. And that's not going to really massively impact your day to day. In fact, it's probably going to make it better.
Yeah, I can totally see. I mean, like I said, with the bike, it just makes me, just hearing you say it, like expertise or skill in an area, I've always sort of had that thing, if I don't have it, then I do believe in getting the help of others. But, you know, we have blocks, and I think about many of the people that I speak to, particularly women, who have a lot of blocks around investing in themselves, even though their current situation, their current state is really unpalatable for them. And the idea of that continuing to be the same for another year or whatever, you know, is not something they want, but they, you know, there's a real challenge around, okay, how do I invest in myself? Am I really worth it? You know, so what might you throw out there for people to hear and understand for them? Are they a bit blocked in this area? Like, have they got some growth opportunities? Are they holding themselves back in their kind of lifestyle and how they're managing their finances in the context of finding more ease and spaciousness around what they maybe don't need to be doing? You know, just let's help people kind of understand, oh, actually, yeah, that might be me.
Yeah. Well, I'd say a few things that people that I hear again and again are, I'm not good at maths, I'm bad with money, and I don't have the time. So I would really challenge people to, A, stop saying that, really look at whether you do have the time, what you could change to give yourself the time you want to do the things that you love. Look at, people aren't as bad at maths as they think they are. Maybe you don't know how to measure the angles of a triangle. That's fine. That's not going to impact how much money, you know, having a quick check-in of your bank balance. Maybe even you just do it once a year. You go through your bank statement and you see where that money is going. And I would also say on that you're not wrong. Don't feel you've made some massive error and feel shame and embarrassment around that. We've all done things that aren't by the books, or we've spent money in places maybe we shouldn't have, and not spent money where we should have. It doesn't matter. Like, this is just data to start you on the journey of making some different decisions that are going to, you know, bring a lot of joy to you. And the other one is that I'm bad with money. And I think that also speaks into that. You're not wrong. You've done what you've done. That's okay. You know, it doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you'll never be able to be good with money. It just means that, you know, maybe some things with a few tools, you can sort of realign a few things and get time back and spend money where you really want to be spending it.
Yeah, really, it's becoming less of a what you're not going to do list and more of a joy list as we're speaking about it for me. And that's a great challenge around sort of not settling for the status quo in your life around this and your finances. Because, again, that expert, like, you don't always know the how. And in fact, we probably don't know the how. And that's okay if you're willing to just take the action of getting some support. Because probably more is possible for us in this space than what we think, is what I'm hearing from you. Clearly, many of us would love to be outsourcing some homeschooling right now. Don't think that's necessarily going to happen. Although I've got friends in the US that have done things around pods and having, you know, teachers come in. So, you know, perhaps there are opportunities there. But Eliza, I guess just to wrap up, you know, really enjoyed this discussion, and I hope people are making some notes about what it, you know, even like an ideal kind of day might look like for them, or like ideally some of the stuff that they know when they're doing it, there's that sort of like resentment there in that task. Just kind of make your list and then do the values part and maybe prioritize, yeah, but get some support on the how. But what's next for you, both in terms of your sort of ongoing growth for you personally? That's one question. And the other question, you can take them in any order, is what's next for you on the outsourcing list?
So on the growth list, I sat down to do something that had all this information in my head, and I just couldn't, I had bits and pieces coming from everywhere, and I just put it all in one sort of one document, and I just feel so much clearer about where I'm going. So that's been really good, just sort of setting another, revisiting my strategy. And so from a business sense, I'm running more workshops, online workshops, given, you know, lockdown. And from a fun sense, I suppose, I'm really trying to focus on, so I will absorb anything to do with interiors. I know that's completely different to what I do in my business and have done in my entire career. But yeah, I am looking at not outsourcing my hobbies, but I'm really looking forward to sort of spending a bit more time on my hobbies, which, to be honest, I haven't really thought about what's going to mean for outsourcing. We've got tutors for the children because, yes, I can't exactly outsource homeschooling, but I sort of feel like...
I love it. Do you leave that till the end? There's some serious growth inspiration for all of us.
Yeah, it's been great. So I just go, well, I know once a week they're checking in, they get, you know, hopefully catching up, and, you know, anything that's a real issue will be caught. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, I hope everyone's made some notes about what may go on their joy list, and they're going to filter through that. You know, Eliza, I'll put all of her links. She's on Instagram and other places, and you can reach out to her if you want some support. Because to go right to back where we started, I think the idea is for us all to feel a little bit more sparkly. And when you've got your head in the toilet, that's not necessarily the case. So, yeah, enjoy thinking about what you would like to pay not to do and getting some support on the how. Thanks, everyone, and sparkle on. Enjoy your growth. Thanks so much for being here and being part of the Grow Tribe. It would be amazing if you shared this podcast with others at home, at work, gave it a rate and review in Apple Podcasts, and shared any ideas about what you want to hear more about or who you want to hear from. I love to hear your updates. If you're interested in learning about how to become a Chief Energy Officer, you're looking to fuel your impact and your performance, could be you, could be your team, have a look at the link in the show notes about where to start. And as always, drop me an email if you're looking for any support or you've got any insights that you want to share on growth. It's Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, at go2grow.com.au. Thanks, everyone.